Define bad, I said. There was a missile attack on Phoenix the other night, Trujillo said. That's not bad, that's stupid, I said. Phoenix has the most advanced planetary defense grid of any of the human planets. You couldn't get a missile larger than a marble past it.
Right, Trujillo said. And everyone knows it. There hasn't been an attack of any size against Phoenix in over 100 years. The attack wasn't meant to be successful. It was meant to send a message that no human planet should be considered safe from retaliation. That's a pretty big statement.
I thought about this while I took a bite of my burger.
Presumably Phoenix wasn't the only planet to get a missile attack, I said.
No,
Trujillo said.
My people tell me that all the colonies have been attacked.
I nearly choked.
All of them?
I repeated.
All of them,
Trujillo said.
The established colonies were never in any danger. Their planetary defense grids picked off the attacks. Some of the smaller colonies saw some damage. Sedona Colony had an entire settlement wiped off the map. 10,000 people dead.
You're sure about that? I said.
Second hand,
Trujillo said.
But from a source I trust who spoke to the Sedonan representative. I trust my source as much as I trust anyone.
I turned to Kranjic and Beata. This fits in with what you've heard?
It does,
Kranjic said.
Manfred and I have different sources, but what I'm hearing is the same.
Beata nodded as well. But none of this is on the news feeds, I said, glancing down at my PDA, which lay on the table. I had it open and active, awaiting the determination of the inquiry.
No,
Trujillo said.
The Colonial Union has slapped a blanket prohibition on information about the attacks. They're using the State Secrecy Act. You'll remember that one.
Yeah. I winced at the memory of the werewolves and Gutierrez. Didn't do me a whole lot of good. I doubt it'll do the CU much better.
The attacks explain the chaos we're seeing here,
Trujillo said.
I don't have any sources from the CDF. They're clammed up tight. But I know that every single colony representative is screaming their head off for direct CDF protection. Ships are being recalled and reassigned, but there's not enough for every colony. From what I hear, the CDF is doing triage, deciding which colonies it can protect and which colonies it can afford to lose.
Where does Roanoke fit into that triage? I asked.
Trujillo shrugged.
When it comes down to it, everyone wants defense priority, he said. I sounded out the legislators I know about increasing Roanoke's defenses. They all said they'd be happy to, once their own planets were taken care of.
No one's talking about Roanoke anymore, Beata said. Everyone is focused on what's happening at their own homes. They can't report it, but they're sure as hell following it.
We focused on our burgers after that, lost in our own thoughts. I was preoccupied enough that I didn't notice someone standing behind me until Trujillo looked up and stopped chewing.
Perry,
he said, and glanced meaningfully over my shoulder. I turned to see General Zeilard.
I like the burgers here, too, he said. I'd join you, but given your wife's experience, I doubt you'd be willing to eat at the same table as me.
Now that you mention it, General, I said, you'd be entirely correct about that.
Then walk with me, please, Administrator Perry, Zeilard said.
We have a lot to discuss, and time is short.
All right, I said. I picked up my tray, giving a glance over at my lunchmates. Their expressions were carefully blank. I dropped the contents of my tray into the nearest receptacle and faced the general.
Where to?
I asked.
Come on,
Zeilard said.
Let's go for a ride.
There,
Zeilard said. His personal shuttle hung in space, with Phoenix visible to port, and Phoenix Station off to starboard. He motioned to indicate both.
Nice view, isn't it?
Oh, very nice, I said, wondering why the hell Zeilard had taken me here.
Some paranoid part of me wondered if he were planning to pop the shuttle's access hatch and toss me into space, but he didn't have a spacesuit, so this seemed somewhat unlikely. Then again, he was Special Forces.
Maybe he didn't need a spacesuit.
I'm not planning to kill you, Zylard said.
I smiled in spite of myself.
Apparently you can read minds, I said.
Not yours, Zylard said.
But I can guess what you're thinking well enough.
Relax, I'm not going to kill you, if for no other reason, because then Sagan would track me down and kill me.
You're already on her shit list, I said.
Of that I have no doubt, Zylard said. But it was necessary, and I don't plan to apologize for it.
General, I said, why are we here?
We're here because I like the view, and because I want to speak frankly to you, and because this shuttle is the one place I'm entirely sure where anything I say to you is not going to be overheard by anyone else in any way.
The general reached over to the control dash of the shuttle and pressed a button. The view of Phoenix and Phoenix Station disappeared and was replaced with a depthless black.
Nanomesh, I said.
Indeed, Zylard said. No signals in, no signals out. You should know that being cut off is unspeakably claustrophobic for special forces. We're so used to being in constant contact with each other through our brain pals that dropping the signal is like losing any three of our senses.
I knew that, I said.
Jane had recounted to me the mission in which she and other special forces hunted Charles Boutin. Boutin had devised a way to cut off the brain pal signal of the special forces, killing most of them and driving some of those who survived completely insane. Zylard nodded.
Then you'll understand how difficult something like this, even for me. Honestly, I have no idea how Sagan was able to leave it behind when she married you.
There are other ways to connect with someone, I said.
If you say so,
Zylard said.
The fact I'm willing to do this should also communicate to you the seriousness of what I'm going to say to you.
All right, I said.
I'm ready. Roanoke is in serious trouble, Zylard said. We all are. The Colonial Union had anticipated that destroying the Conclave fleet would throw the Conclave into a civil war. That much was correct. Right now, the Conclave is tearing itself apart. The races loyal to General Gao are squaring off against another faction who has found a leader in a member of the Aris race named Nerbros Esser. As it stands, there's only one thing that has kept these two factions of the Conclave from destroying each other entirely.
What's that? I said.
The thing the Colonial Union didn't anticipate, Zylard said. And that is that every single member race of the Conclave is now bent on destroying the Colonial Union. Not just containing the Colonial Union, as General Gao was content to do. They want to eradicate it completely.
Because we wiped out the fleet, I said.
That's the proximate cause, Zylard said. The Colonial Union forgot that in attacking the fleet, we weren't only striking at the Conclave, but at every member of the Conclave. The ships in the fleet were often the flagships for their races. We didn't just destroy a fleet. We destroyed racial symbols. We kicked every single member race of the Conclave hard and square in the balls, Perry. They're not going to forgive that. But beyond that, we're trying to use the destruction of the Conclave fleet as a rallying point for other unaffiliated races. We're trying to get them to become our allies. And the Conclave members have decided that the best way to keep those races unaffiliated is to make an example out of the Colonial Union. All of it.
You don't sound surprised, I said.
I'm not, Zylard said. When destroying the Conclave fleet was first considered, I had the Special Forces Intelligence Corps model out the consequences of that act. This was always the most likely result.
Why didn't they listen? I asked.
Because the CDF models told the Colonial Union what it wanted to hear, Zylard said. And because, at the end of the day, the Colonial Union is going to place more weight on the intelligence generated by real humans than the intelligence created by the Frankenstein monsters it creates to do its dirty work.
Like destroy the Conclave fleet, I said, recalling Lieutenant Strauss.
Yes, Zylard said.
If you believed this was going to be the result, you should have refused to do it, I said. You shouldn't have let your soldiers destroy the fleet.
Zylard shook his head.
It's not that simple.
If I were to have refused, I would have been replaced as the commander of Special Forces. Special Forces are no less ambitious and venal than any other sort of human being, Perry. I can think of three generals under me who would have been happy to take my job for the simple cost of following foolish orders.
But you followed foolish orders, I said.
I did, Sylord said. But I did so under my own terms, part of which was helping to install you and Sagan as colony leaders at Roanoke.
You installed me, I said.
This was news to me. Well, actually, I installed Sagan, Sylord said. You were merely part of the package deal. It was acceptable because you seemed unlikely to fuck things up.
Nice to be valued, I said.
You did make it easier to suggest Sagan, Sylord said. I knew you had a history with General Rybicki. In all, you came in handy, but in point of fact, neither you nor Sagan was the key to the equation. It was your daughter, Administrator Perry, who really matters here. Your daughter was the reason I chose the two of you to lead Roanoke.
I tried to puzzle this one out.
Because of the Oban? I asked.
Because of the Oban, Sylord agreed.
Because of the fact, the Oban consider her something only a little short of a living god, thanks to their devotion to her true father, and the debatably beneficial boon of consciousness that he gave them.
I'm afraid that I don't understand how the Oban matter here, I said.
Although that was a lie. I knew precisely. But I wanted to hear it from Sylord.
He obliged.
Because Roanoke is doomed without them, he said. Roanoke has served its primary purpose of being a trap for the Conclave fleet. Now the entire Colonial Union is under attack, and the CU will have to decide how best to portion out its defensive resources.
We're already aware Roanoke doesn't rate much of a defense, I said. I and my staff have had our face rubbed in that fact today.
Oh, no, Sylord said. It's worse than that.
How can it be worse? I asked.
This way. Roanoke is more valuable to the Colonial Union dead than alive, Sylord said. You have to understand, Perry. The Colonial Union is about to fight for its life against most of the races we know of. Its nice little system of farming decrepit earthlings for soldiers isn't going to get the job done anymore. It's going to need to raise troops from the worlds of the Colonial Union, and fast. This is where Roanoke comes in. Alive, Roanoke is just another colony. Dead, it's a symbol for the 10 worlds who gave it colonists, and to all the rest of the worlds in the Colonial Union. When Roanoke dies, the citizens of the Colonial Union are going to demand that they be allowed to fight. And the Colonial Union will let them.
You know this for sure, I said. This has been discussed.
Of course it hasn't, Sylord said. It never will be. But it's what will happen. The Colonial Union knows that Roanoke is a symbol for the Conclave races as well, the site of their first defeat. It's inevitable that defeat will be revenged. The Colonial Union also knows that by not defending Roanoke, that revenge will happen sooner than later. And sooner will work better for what the Colonial Union needs.
I don't understand, I said.
You're saying that in order to fight the Conclave, the Colonial Union needs its citizens to become soldiers, and to motivate them into volunteering, Roanoke needs to be destroyed. But you're telling me that the reason you chose Jane and me to lead Roanoke was because the Oban revere my daughter and would not allow the colony to be destroyed.
It's not quite that simple, Sylord said.
The Oban would not allow your daughter to die, that much is true. They may or may not defend your colony. But the Oban offered you another advantage, knowledge.
You've lost me again, I said.
Stop playing the fool, Perry, Sylord said. It's insulting. I know you know more about General Gao and the Conclave than you let on in that sham of an inquiry today. I know it because it was the Special Forces who prepared the dossier on General Gao and the Conclave for you, the one that rather sloppily left a tremendous amount of metadata in its files for you to find. I also know that your daughter's Oban bodyguards knew rather more about the Conclave than we could tell you in our dossier. That's how you knew you could trust General Gao at his word. And that's why you tried to convince him not to call his fleet. You knew it would be destroyed, and you knew he would be compromised.
You couldn't have known I'd look for that metadata, I said. You were risking a lot of my curiosity.
Not really, Zylard said. Remember, you were largely incidental to the selection process. I left that information for Sagan to find. She was an intelligence officer for years. She would have looked for metadata in the files as a matter of course. The fact you found the information first is trivial. It would have been found. It does me no good to leave things to chance.
But none of that information does me any good now, I said. None of this changes the fact that Roanoke is in the crosshairs, and there's not a thing I can do about it. You were at the inquiry. I'll be lucky if they let me tell Jane what prison I'll be rotting in.
Zylard waved this off. The inquiry determined that you acted responsibly and within your duties, he said. You're free to return to Roanoke as soon as you and I are done here.
I take it back, I said. You weren't at the same inquiry I was at.
It is true that both Butcher and Berkeley are entirely convinced you're absolutely incompetent, Zylard said. Both of them initially voted to move you to the Colonial Affairs Court, where you would have been convicted and sentenced in about 5 minutes. However, I managed to convince them to switch their vote.
How did you do that? I asked.
Let's just say that it never pays to have things you don't want other people to know, Zylard said.
You're blackmailing them, I said.
I made them aware that every action has a consequence, Zylard said. And in the fullness of their consideration, they preferred the consequences of allowing you to return to Roanoke, as opposed to the consequences of keeping you here. Ultimately, it was all the same to them. They think you're going to die if you go back to Roanoke.
I don't know that I blame them, I said.
You could very well die, Zylard said. But as I said, you have certain advantages. One of them is your relationship to the Oban. Another is your wife. Between them, you might manage to help Roanoke survive, and you with it.
But we're back to the problem, I said.
The way you tell it, the Colonial Union needs Roanoke to die.
By helping me to save Roanoke, you're working against the Colonial Union, General. You're a traitor.
That's my problem, not yours, Zylard said. I'm not worried about being branded a traitor. I'm worried about what happens if Roanoke fails.
If Roanoke fails, the Colonial Union gets its soldiers, I said.
And then it will go to war with most of the races in this part of space, Zylard said. And it will lose. And in losing, humanity will be wiped out. All of it. From Roanoke all the way up. Even Earth will die, Perry. It will be wiped out, and the billions there will have no idea why they're dying. Nothing will be saved. Humanity is on the brink of genocide, and it's a genocide we will have inflicted on ourselves. Unless you can stop it. Unless you can save Roanoke.
I don't know if I can do that, I said. Just before I came here, Roanoke was attacked. Just 5 missiles, but it took everything we had to keep them from wiping us out. If a whole group of conclave races wants to grind us into dirt, I don't know how we can stop them.
You need to find a way, Zylard said.
You're a general, I said. You do it.
I am doing it, Zylard said. By giving the responsibility to you. I can't do any more than that without losing my place in the Colonial Union hierarchy. And then I would be powerless. I've been doing what I can since this insane plan to attack the Conclave was formed. I used you as long as I could without letting you know, but we're beyond that now. Now you know. It's your job to save humanity, Perry.
No pressure there, I said.
You did it for years, Zylard said. Don't you remember what they told you the job of Colonial Defense Forces was? To keep a place for humanity among the stars. You did it then. You need to do it now.
Then it was me and every other member of the CDF, I said. The responsibility is a little more focused now.
Then let me help, Zylard said. Again and for the last time. My intelligence corps has told me that General Gao is going to be assassinated by a member of his own circle of advisors, someone he trusts. indeed someone he loves. This assassination will happen within the month. We have no other information. We have no way of informing General Gao of the assassination attempt, and even if we had a way, there's no way we could inform him and no chance he would accept the information as genuine, even if we could. If Gao dies, then all the conclave will reform around Nerbros Esser, who plans to destroy the Colonial Union. If Nerbros Esser takes power, it's all over. The Colonial Union will fall. Humanity dies.